you know, Norm, I'm thinking of something Norm Macdonald said when he, one of the times he lost all his money. And he went across the street. He got a cup of coffee at a diner, or he was remembering someone who did the same thing. He said he did. He followed in the footsteps of someone who did this, who went across the street, had lost all his money, got a cup of coffee, and he felt clean or free or something, pure, clean, free. It's all the same thing. Your money, you're not a slave to the almighty dollar. You've beaten that. You've beaten the rat race because you're not a slave to the almighty dollar. Yeah. Now, of course, you are a slave to the roller coaster of adrenaline and emotion that is what you're chasing when you're gambling. And it does not exist if you know what the outcome is going to be. So like, if this doesn't come up in the novel, because he never gets a chance to, you know, fix a, the movie actually goes into more interesting terrain than the novel. The novel never gets this far, but like, if you, you know, if you were to ask Alexei in the novel, like if you were to try to teach him how to count cards, he wouldn't be interested. Like, he's not gonna, that's not gambling anymore.
Yeah. If you told him, hey, I came from the future. I'm from Monday and today's Sunday, right at 10 a.m. before the kickoffs, Niners are going to win. Bet on this. He'd be like, fuck off.
Why waste my time?
Yeah. I mean, and like any rational person who would just be having their fun weekend at the casino would be like, oh, hell yeah, dude. Like, I just got the answers. I got the answers to the test. You know what I mean? I got the answers. The Axel character really just hammers that home. And that's 1,000% true. So, yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you know any guys. I've met some people who were professional card counters in my day. They quit because it was the most boring thing, the most boring profession ever.
Yeah.
to be a blackjack card counter. So, you know, it checks out. And also, it's fucking boring when you play Madden on and you figured it out and you're just able to do whatever you want. It gets boring. Like everything gets boring once you game it, unless you're, you know, making a ton of money off of it and you can use that money for power. But yeah, it's like, it's not what gambling's not about winning, and it's not about losing either. It's about everything that happens in between your bet and the final result. And that's why it's such a crippling addiction, because there's literally nothing that, you know, there's no satiation.
Right.
There's nothing that's a victory in gambling.
Yeah. You can get addicted. You can do coffee and sweets when you're on drugs, you know, not to say that drug addiction is easy to kick, but like you can put other things into your body to at least try to mimic it. Cigarettes, you know, things like that. People develop all those stuff, but like gambling, it's like, what's the other addiction?
The only other thing is like producing movies, literally, or, you know, any
starting a business that like might fail.
Right. Starting a business. I mean, the connection between big time business people and gambling is.
Yeah. Maury Ballstein, Goodfellas. You know what I mean? Like the Maury Ballstein in Goodfellas with the wig guy, that's the prime example of a gambling addict business, like hokey businessman. Like he just has to have action on everything, has to take a loan out all the time, you know, rather than like scale back a little bit. It's like, no, I want an insane mob guy chasing me all the time, you know?
And the thing is that the interesting thing about this, and we know that, you know, everybody knows that stereotype of like, of the guy who just wants action. Like that's not news. We know that stereotype. It's all around us, and it definitely infects business people, and it definitely infects movie people. It definitely infects, you know, it infects any kind of like action crazed person. But where both the gambler and, because it's Dostoevsky, and with the movie take it to a different level where there, and this is a level that probably applies more to me personally, probably applies more to you guys, definitely applies to a friend I know in Armenia, where there is a spiritual battle taking place, and like this guy's not just like I want action. He thinks that he is defeating these like shackles that have been placed on him by the world, by his family, by being Jewish in the case of Axel, by being in Dostoevsky's case, by being like this love stricken fucking, you know, maniac. There's like this
overeducated, kind of like educated, but like the education, it clearly doesn't satiate, like, you know, it doesn't satisfy anything that he needs, right? Like, it's got to be, it's just like, I could be a tutor for the rest of my life, you know, but why? There's just no appeal to them whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, you know, we're talking about like that. That's why he would not take Pauline's money.
No.
To gamble with, because he's not. Yeah. It violates his code. Gamblers have this kind of gambler is obsessed with principles, codes, systems, and everything else. Like, he's it's a very religious form of gambling, what Dostoevsky did and what his character does. And equally what Axel does in the movie. It's very religious. It's very based on principles. And it's like, it's very much based on like making this myth of yourself as a gambler who is going to be the one who beats the odds through sheer will and willpower and vision. You're going to, in a way, it's a very Nietzschean, I guess. I mean, I shouldn't throw that word around, but it's a will. I mean, there is a desire to simply break the mortal spell, and to be a hero. That's really what's going on here.
Beautifully said. Shall we,
Kurt? You're not talking too much. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I love hearing the monologue about the I guess just the mythologizing of the gambler. Because I've seen so many. I'm from Saratoga Springs, New York, which is probably like the second biggest East Coast gambling place, I think, after AC. And like the way that people I've seen like personally describe just gambling addiction, they describe it as like the most or the only addiction where you can actually make money, and that's like kind of it's one of the worst ways to look at it. But I guess when you're a drug addict, you're really not going to get any kind of positive out of it. But I guess gambling, like when you run out of money, you're out of money. When you run out of money with drugs, you're also like, you're fucked up. You might even die. But reading from this book, kind of Dostoevsky's view of, I guess, just like gambling as a kind of a way to beat the odds, like the way that you're talking about the Nietzschean willpower, that resonates so hard, just because like you when you gamble like on a sports book, you're trying to beat so many people that are like, they have so much money involved with it, and that like the idea that you can do that, you have to be a little retarded to kind of like
that
you can make ahead, you can get ahead. And like, obviously I think that I am. Like, you were talking about not wanting just to win money. Like, it's not just about the winnings. Like, that's kind of why something like Odds Jam is just gonna, like, it's just kind of boring, you know? Like,
tell me about it.
Why do I want people to make these bets for me? Like, it is fun seeing like a live play, like, fuck it, I'll tail it, why not? Like, that's if someone's going through the legwork and like maybe I'll get a little midday action, that's fun. But like, nothing beats like, I don't know, playing a full field like on an NFL weekend. Like, that's like the real Nietzschean willpower. It's kind of like beating the odds books. Like, that's where like the true gambling like nature comes in. Like, that resonates, you know?
So it's so true. I mean, it's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. Well, let's move on to the movie. Cause I'm glad you guys all watched it. First of all, it's The Gambler. It's by Carol Rice, I believe is the guy's name. Carol, Carol Rice, the director. I had not seen anything other. Kurt tells me that he has another like fixing college basketball kind of movie, right? Was that something you
said? No,
you
wait, found out? I don't think was that was Rice.
Was that Toback, the writer? Was he the one
Toback?
Yeah, he had another one. Okay.
Oh, so, didn't he also do the Blue Chips?
Or was that, was that him? Okay, yeah, that makes sense then.
No,
yeah.
Wait, Blue Chips was from the writer of Bull Durham.
Okay, so yeah, no, I thought there was somebody. Yeah. Okay, no, neither way, no problem. But the Gambler, it's 1974. I asked my dad about this movie. I found out about this movie from Bill Simmons. All right, Bill Simmons, which, you know, Bill Simmons has actually really good movie taste, and he knows a good gambling movie too. He knows every good gambling movie that's ever existed. This being, in my opinion, my favorite, because I think it accurately, through James Caan's portrayal, but just the character of Axel itself is just like, holy shit, that's a gambler. Like that's when you see. I have so many problems with Uncut Gems because I think that's like fantastical. I think that's just, there's too much shoehorned, piped in crowd noise to make that more intense than it needs to be. There's too much mysticism that happens with the stone and Uncut Gems. Like gambling, when you're that far into gambling, it's all mystical already. It's already a fantasy. And this movie, it's very gritty. It's very kind of brown. The movie is extremely brown. Like it's just like 70s brown. Everything is kind of like, there's not too many loud colors in it and everything. But before we get too far into it, Kurt, you saw this at a theater.
Yeah, the Metrograph in New York with our friend Matteo Patio.
That's tight. Cool. And and you were telling me this off camera. He doesn't gamble, so we're gonna spend some time talking about the ending of it because the ending is so powerful. But like he had no clue what that meant, huh? The ending.
No, I had to explain to him. Also, the people behind us, like literally, they were out loud going like, "What?" They were laughing at the ending, saying like,
"Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
it made no sense." I'm like, what are you talking about?
It is a little campy,
you're
but
some
yeah, it's
Brooklyn
it,
hipster. Like,
yeah, they don't get it. They don't get it. Like, you just don't get it. But if you've played and if you've even just chased, if you've ever spent the day chasing, not that kind of chasing, but like chasing chasing bets and just betting on the Pac-12 game starting at fucking 7 p.m. you know, like, because you just had a bad day, like when you've had that day, like you understand the ending of that movie. But we'll talk about the ending a little bit. It centers around Axel Fried, who so he's a professor at it's pretty much NYU, but like they have to title it like a different school. I'm assuming it's like NYU. He's obviously like, he hasn't been, I don't think he's tenured yet, but he's like well on his way to becoming like he comes from a rich family, a furniture salesman, furniture tycoon, really. He's got everything that you would ever need to just like move up in academia and do whatever you need to do. But the first scene of the movie, he's in the hole $44,000 eating lunch meat and getting just absolutely reprimanded by Paul Sorvino, who, like, by all intents and purposes, has to punish him, but is, like, going to try so hard not to, because everyone looks at Axel and is just like, why, dude? Like, you shouldn't be doing this. And I just, the way that it starts, it just sets that movie in such a great, like, it just sets such a good tone for the movie, because everyone knows that guy, you know, whether you do drugs, whether you do any, whatever kind of vice you have, you know, the guy that like shouldn't be there, but goes extra hard.
It's a great performance, stoic performance.
Unbelievable.
But,
James Caan,
James Caan, incredible. You know, he's even better than, it's even better than I remember. Why am I, you know, this is like a real sign of age that I'm forgetting names, but what's the guy who's in Cincinnati Kid and Bullet?
Steve McQueen.
Yeah, my God. Steve McQueen in Cincinnati Kid, which is a more mainstream movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a more, kind of blockbustery type of movie, which we should watch one day, by the way.
I'd love to. Yeah.
It's about poker.
Love McQueen.
Great theme song. I keep talking about it. But great theme song by Ray Charles. And so this is a better, I think like this is a better performance than McQueen's.
Should have won an Oscar. What else came out in 1974? He should have won an Oscar for this. This is,
I don't know what did, what was it? What did come out in 1974?
See, best actor, best
probably
actor.
The Godfather or some shit.
It might. Well, no, because he was in the Godfather. Oh, so yeah. But best actor.
Those were some pretty stacked years overall.
Yeah, you know? No, it's possible. Best actor 1974.
Godfather Part 2 was.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and he definitely wasn't in that one because he got fucking smoked in Godfather 1. But
well, here he's great. Ugh. He really does. I mean, you know, he is strikes this heroic. He's very handsome. He wears his shirt buttoned
tight
down
shirt to, the tight shirt in the Jufro
deep ass neckline where you see his entire chest hair. He's got the Jufro. He doesn't look Jewish though. He doesn't look Jewish to me. I didn't even know they were Jewish until his grandfather said. Until his grandfather literally tells him she's not meant for a Jew.
Great scene.
One of my favorite scenes in the pool at the pool where he. Mm-hmm. So anyway, before we get there, he's hot. He has a hot girlfriend.
Lauren Hutton.
Southern mm-hmm. babe, Southern Belle.
Just like you,
Texas A and M, Texas A and M pennant in her very cool, like kind of like I love her dorm room. It's really cool, like or whatever that is. It's like apartment,
whatever
I guess.
It is. It's really cool. He's got a great apartment full of books.
Oh
he's
yeah,
an English teacher who clearly has the respect of his entire class. They mm-hmm. love him. That much is clear. There's nothing this man is missing in the world, and yet he's missing everything because he's possessed by the gambling. But he's you know, to him it's almost like all his great fortune and all his privilege is what his spoiled life for him, and he doesn't, you know, it's just boring for him. Everything's too easy for him, mm-hmm. and that's why he's gambling. That's why he's into gambling.
Yeah,
it's almost like that's the first thing that comes through. It's like there's nothing this guy is missing.
Yeah,
yet.